From Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Beth Ruriak. Some aspects of Governor Gavin Newsom's State of the State speech are still being digested and processed. Parts of the speech are agreeable to some, not to others, and vice versa. Some comments just created confusion. For example, the governor's remarks on high-speed rail. Our Capital Bureau Chief Ben Adler is here to help sort this out. For background, Ben's beat is the Capitol and state government. He covered most of Jerry Brown's terms as governor, though not the early ones.
I'm not quite that old.
And Gavin Newsom, he's been covering long as lieutenant governor. So high-speed rail is a very familiar issue to Ben. That said, let's jump into this and try to sort out the fact that it did create confusion.
It created confusion among supporters and opponents alike. And these words made heads spin across the nation. Let's listen.
Right now, there simply isn't a path to get from Sacramento to San Diego, let alone from San Francisco to LA. I wish there were. However, we do have the capacity to complete a high-speed rail link between Merced and Bakersfield.
So a lot of people jump to the same conclusion that Newsom is killing off high-speed rail from the Bay Area to Southern California. They were so caught up in the audio that we just heard and elsewhere in the speech where Newsom said, look, let's just level with you. You know, this thing's too expensive. It's taking too long. It's not transparent. There's a lot of things wrong with it that they may have missed this next section.
We'll continue to support our regional projects north and south. We'll finish phase one of the environmental work. We'll connect the revitalized Central Valley to other parts of the state, and we will continue to push forward for more federal funding and private dollars. But let's get something done once and for all.
Even that part was confusing because there is work happening. To some people, some things are getting done. But I think it was a lot said in a very short period of time and head spinning.
And a lot of lawmakers and a lot of people just watching in general may not be high-speed rail policy wonks. And I know you said I know it well. I don't know it all that well. There are many different stories that I'm covering on a daily basis. So I had to spend a great deal of my day yesterday on the phone with people in the Brown administration trying to figure out, okay, where exactly is the project right now? What is moving forward? What isn't? And I think I'm in a pretty good position to be able to explain some of that.
Okay, then let's do so. Start with where the project is now.
Project is in the Central Valley right now. There is construction underway. There are a few different construction projects and phases of the Central Valley segment underway. And up until Gavin Newsom uttered those words on Tuesday, the state was in the process of building and had the money for 119 miles from Madera, which is a little bit north of Merced, to this street on the outskirts of northern Bakersfield. So it goes through downtown Fresno, but they hadn't figured out how to get it into downtown Bakersfield. And, so it's this 119 mile, if you're driving on Highway 99, you can do it in 2 hours or less, a lot less if you're going above the speed limit, stretch of the Central Valley. Newsom is saying Merced to Bakersfield. And so what that means is instead of 119 miles from Madera to just north of Bakersfield, we're talking 171 miles from Merced to downtown Bakersfield. Mm. And so if you're wondering what is different based on what Newsom said yesterday, to start with, and there isn't a lot that's different, we'll get to that, but to start with, he's actually guaranteeing a longer Central Valley phase, or I shouldn't say guaranteeing, committing to, calling a priority, the priority, in fact, this longer Central Valley phase from Merced to downtown Bakersfield.
All right. What about beyond?
Yes.
What about work that was happening in San Francisco and some people hearing maybe for the first time, wait, what?
This is what kind of threw everyone for a loop. They thought Newsom was killing the SF to SoCal stretch. He's not. He's saying, look, we're going to, we heard him in that second soundbite. I'm going to translate a little. He said, we'll continue to support our regional projects north and south. That's money from the high-speed rail bond that's being put into like Caltrain electrification on the San Francisco Peninsula, some LA Union Station work, down in L.A. These are regional rail projects that are going to benefit people now, but the High Speed Rail Authority is also hoping to make use of those systems and those tracks in the future. It's called a blended system. It was a big change to the project put in place under Governor Brown that was intended and did, I think, bring down costs to some extent, because the cost had ballooned up to about $100 billion, and Brown, by doing the blending, might have lengthened the trip, as critics said, but was able to try to bring the cost down to the $60 or $70 billion range. So that work, the bookends, what it's called, the regional projects will continue. And the environmental work. So when Newsom said, quote, we'll finish phase one of the environmental work. Well, nobody necessarily knows what that means, but that phase one is SF to Anaheim. So they're going to keep doing the environmental reviews for San Francisco to Anaheim. Why? Why does that matter? Because that's a condition of keeping the $3.5 billion from the federal government in the stimulus package that the state has already spent on constructing the Central Valley segment. And as Newsom said in his speech, we really don't want to give that money back to President Trump.
Oh, you know, he doesn't want to return any federal funds. Also at play, though, here is the thought that maybe if we get a fully democratically majority ruled Congress, that there might be more federal money coming in not too distant future, maybe a handful of years, that could help fund the next phases of this job.
We heard Democrats this week talk about the Green New Deal in Washington, D.C. There would be, in theory, money for high speed rail as part of that Green New Deal. If Democrats are able to take over all of the federal government, well, it's no coincidence that the last federal high-speed rail funding for California came when Democrats controlled all of Washington, D.C. government in the opening years of the Obama administration. There's been no money since Republicans took the House in 2010. So, in fact, President Trump tweeted last night. I think he may have seen a Fox News report that I found online. Playing that clip of Newsom saying we don't want to give that money back, and Trump saying, sorry, California, you owe us that money. We want it back now. State doesn't have to give that money back now. If they don't get certain other things done, they might, by a certain deadline, the state might have to return it.
Governor Newsom said, I have nothing but respect for Governor Brown's and Governor Schwarzenegger's ambitious vision. And he's referring to high-speed rail there. But then he said there isn't a path right now. And that, combined with the tunnels, left a lot of people thinking, wow, he's not only taking President Trump to task, he's kind of going after some of the ambitious efforts of the previous governor.
Jerry Brown was known for those two big projects that he was, you know, taking the long view on and trying very hard to get. But as we'll talk about a little bit later, these are not necessarily big departures that Newsom is making. He is trying to make them sound like big departures, but not really. I spent a lot of time yesterday trying to figure out, okay, so yes, you're extending the Central Valley segment by an extra 50 or so miles. What else is new? Now, to be fair, Newsom did announce a new board chair, his economic development advisor, Lenny Mendonca, replacing Dan Richards, a Brown loyalist and appointee. He did say we're going to try to put all these construction reports and overage, cost overages online for transparency. But when you get right down to it, the only real change beyond those 50 miles is saying if there's any extra money available for high speed rail, I don't, you know, down the road, like cap and trade funds that the state gets each year, don't put it toward anything in the SF to Anaheim segment. Make sure it goes into the Central Valley. And let's, as he said, let's get something done.
You're listening to Cap Radio's Capital Bureau Chief, Ben Adler. Of course, not everybody agrees with this. And to many Republicans, it doesn't matter how you present the project, it's still not going to be a winner.
So let's hear Republican Assemblyman Vince Fong, who I spoke with yesterday.
He may try to put lipstick on a pig, but this scaled-down rail project is still going to be plagued with problems and setbacks. The flaws still exist. We have no assurances that the funding is there. It still lacks transparency and accountability. We're continuing to throw money at a flawed project. We should protect the taxpayers. We should protect the Central Valley, and we need to scrap this project entirely.
Do you think that's why the governor included a remark that was really a political argument as well as the logistics, the numbers, and the plan that he had outlined?
Yeah, I think he anticipated he would still get some pushback. And he talked about the Central Valley being offended by the phrase train to nowhere. Let's hear some of the governor's political argument in favor of keeping this whether you call it scaled back, I don't know if you can really call it a scaled right. back project. I'm going to have to stop using that term. This project going.
Abandoning the high-speed rail entirely means we will have wasted billions and billions of dollars with nothing but broken promises, partially fulfilled commitments, and lawsuits to show for it.
And the flip side is Republicans would say, well, okay, but why now throw good money after bad?
Maybe revised is the word. We get a revised budget. Maybe
there we
have a revised high-speed rail plan. Let's pull back a little bit. I want to hear your thoughts about the speech overall. There have now been a few days for people to let it sink in, to analyze it. What's the take on this first State of the State speech by the governor?
It was fascinating the areas he chose to focus on, not necessarily areas he had spent a lot of time speaking about elsewhere. He, of course, has spent a lot of time this week talking about pulling the National Guard off the border. He, of course, has spent a lot of time talking about PG&E, and he did feel, I'm sure, he needed to include a section on that bankruptcy in his State of the State address. And he did choose to talk about health care. It was one of health care and National Guard and immigration. Those are the only areas that he chose to criticize President Trump on. He, in fact, praised President Trump in another part of the health care passage for Trump's call to limit prescription drug costs. But you know, that was the only time I think he mentioned Trump by name in the speech, say, you know, when he right. praised him. So there's that. But a lot of things he barely mentioned at all, including some things that he has spent a lot of time talking about. So let's listen to him kind of just say, after he went through some certain areas in depth, then he just kind of emptied out the rest of the notebook here.
Let me end by making the obvious point. We've covered a lot of ground, but there's a lot more that deserves our focus. Climate change, reforming our tax code, our criminal justice system, major initiatives like paid sick leave, universal preschool, free community college, reimagining the DMV. It's on the list. There's so much more, and we'll be taking on all those issues and more in the coming months.
So he mentioned climate change a couple of times in passing besides that, but compare that to Jerry Brown, who would spend paragraphs focused on climate change. And you see yet another sign that this is a different governor.
That was 30 seconds on enormous, expansive issues, some of which can make or break the future of the state.
He has made universal preschool and expanded paid family leave core goals of his administration. And he barely paid them lip service in his first State of the State address. Now, he talked about them a lot in his inaugural address. He talked about them to great lengths in his state budget proposal. He chose in his State of the State address to highlight some things we had not heard him really speak about as much. A master plan for aging that is going to be worked on by a commission led by former First Lady Maria Shriver. A data dividend potentially on consumer privacy for
people. Did you know what
people.
That was?
No, not really. But and I'm not going to try to explain it now. But our colleague Nadine Sabai took a look at it yesterday, and her story is available to check out at capradio.org. So it was interesting to see what he chose to speak on and what he chose to just, rattle off there at the end.
You brought in a memento, a formal program that was produced. That's not necessarily something that happens almost in a keepsake way from these events, but the governor's staff did do that this time.
To be fair, I think Jerry Brown's staff did, too. I can't speak to what Arnold Schwarzenegger's did.
I do want to say, Ben, you know, in our little tiny pool that day on how long the speech was going to go, you didn't do so well.
I was led astray by people who had knowledge of the speech who said it's upwards of an hour. I think it's possible they did some significant editing because we were supposed to get the speech more in advance than we got it.
Excuses.
I know. I will leave one final thought before we move on. And that is that in the moment during the speech and in the hour or so afterward, I think the impression that people had of what the governor said does not necessarily of a far reaching speech with major announcements and big changes in direction. Upon further reflection, I don't see that as being the case. I see it much more incremental. We talked about high-speed rail. That is not the big change that we all thought it was in the moment. talking about the Delta tunnels moving from 2 to 1. That was already under consideration in the waning weeks of the Brown administration. I think it's entirely possible that if Jerry Brown were still governor for a magical fifth term, he might have gone to one tunnel, too. These are areas that Newsom can make a break publicly on, two areas that Jerry Brown was not as popular on. But they are not big, sweeping policy changes that Newsom is proposing. He is proposing big, sweeping policy changes in a lot of other areas. We talked about paid family leave expansion and universal preschool. But his speech was much more incremental, I think, upon reflection.
All right, Ben, thanks so much for the time, the analysis, and your time with this governor has only just begun.
It sure has. All right, thanks.
Happy Valentine's Day.
And to you.
Ben Adler is Cap Radio's Capitol Bureau Chief. You can find the full State of the State speech, annotated, by the way, by our news staff, and much more coverage at capradio.org. This is Insight on Cap Radio.